Perek Yudalet Pasuk. You know, let's start from right here, from Zion over here. So Asa, who's a confusing person, who obviously has done some great things, says on Vayila Asa Chayil Nosei Tzina Veromach, he had this army that was able to carry these spears and shields. Mehuda Shloshmel Sal 300,000 from Mehuda Mibinam Nosei Magen. They carried shields with Dorche Keshes, and they were able to shoot bows and arrows. Masayim Bushmonel 280,000. Kol Eila Gibori Chayil. All of them very, very strong. So Asa had a pretty big army. We're talking almost 600,000 men. Yitzalim Zerach HaKushi. Then Zerach HaKushi from Ethiopia, he came, B'chai Alav HaLafim, with 1 million men. Our discussion last week was dealing with whether or not that's literal or figurative. The number 1 million is just absolutely ridiculous. How are you supposed to have enough provisions for an army that big? You're not in your normal area. 1 million men cannot survive in that type of way, but maybe it means the other people were helping back home, etc. But in Markavos, Shlosh Meos, and 300 chariots, we have Voad Maresha, they came all the way to the area called Maresha, right over here. So this is the idea behind it. Now, the reason, by the way, why they're called Dorche Keshes, I never knew this. Dorche Keshes means they step upon the bow. Because apparently they had huge bows for the maximum tension. They would keep their foot on the bottom of the bow and pull it back that way. So I'd be able to have the most tension, so it would go the furthest, which is actually really cool. I never thought about that before in my life. Anyway, Zerach HaKushi had already taken away all of the riches of Rechavam from the king of Egypt. They had already defeated Egypt, and they had all the money. So they took the money from Rechavam, that Rechavam obviously had originally from the riches of Egypt, right? Now they had it themselves over here, and he brought it with him into the battle for whatever reason. They waged war in an area called Tzfas by Maresha, not the Tzfas that we know of today. Asa called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yomar, and he said, Ein Hashem imach imcha lazor ben Rav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no one aside from you that can help. Ben Rav le'en koach, between the people who are great and the people that have no strength. Azreinu Hashem elokeinu, save us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki alach nishanu, because we have relied upon you. V'shin chabanu, we have come upon your name. Al hamon hazeh, upon this multitude. Hashem elokeinu ato, al yatzor amcha enosh. Do not, right, you are a Kadosh Baruch Hu, no human can wage war against you. Now, that's amazing. That Asa, when he saw that he had a problem, immediately went to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've seen that Asa had taken care of a lot of the Avodah Zarah, but certainly not from his dad. This didn't come from his father. Asa is doing this on his own. Vayigo Hashem is a Kushim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plagued the Kushim lifnei Asa, lifnei Yehuda, in front of Yehuda, and Yenusu HaKushim. They ran away. Vayirfim Asa va'amashar imoad legror. They chased them all the way to Gror, which is the city of the Pelishtim. Vayipo mikushim le'en lehem michya. And the Ethiopians fell because they didn't have any food. Ki nishbo lifnei Hashem, because they were broken and crushed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lenachamenu, in front of his camp. Vayisu shalol harbe mo'ud. And they carried away a ton of booty from the war. Ve'akwas kol ha'arim sivos goror, and they killed all the cities around Goror, ki'ayapachar Hashem alein, because there was a tremendous fear of God upon them. Ve'avozos kol ha'arim, and they took all those bezek, kibuz rab ha'yisa behem. Ve'gam alein miknehiku, they also took tenths of livestock. Ve'yishbu tzon l'rov, tons of sheep, u'gamalim and camels, ve'yashuv Yerushalayim, and they came all the way to Yerushalayim themselves. Now, obviously, there was miracles that happened that allowed them to win in these battles and to get into this war, and to be able to get there. Clearly, something else was going on over here, but somehow they were able to defeat everything around here. Now, Machanehu is called Hashem's camp over here, the camp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why is because he really did feel that God was with him. He felt that God was with him more than anybody else, and that changed a lot. Do you want to sit here? Mm-hmm. Okay, your call. But either way, so he went right around there. There's another thing in which we mentioned over here, that he went to Gror, which was the city of the Pelishtim themselves. It seems very, very strange that Pelishtim were involved over here. It could be that Zerach, the king of Cush, had gone upward. He had already defeated Egypt and taken all of his riches, then went to the Pelishtim, defeated all those cities, and he had his main forces sitting there delivering food and drink for their war against the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, when he ran back, he ran to the city of Gror, which is where they were among the Pelishtim, and that's the reason why he went there. And that's the purpose of, why Gror was involved, because the Pelishtim seemingly are not involved in this war whatsoever. We don't see anything about the Pelishtim being involved here. Yeah, Divrei Yamin Beis, all the way to Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, so let's see what he says over here. Azaryahu ben Oded, Haysal of Ruach Elokim. Now, Azaryahu, right, this is Azaryahu ben Oded, he had the Spirit of God from him, he became a Navi. He went in front of Asa, and he said to Shmu'uni Asa, B'chol Yehudu ben Yamin, listen to me, Asa, and all the people of Yehudu ben Yamin, Hashem imachem b'yoschem imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with you, because you are with him. If you seek him out, right, he will allow himself to be found by you. But if you forsake him, then he's going to forsake you. So the nevuah was that things will be good as long as you act well. This is now the time for, if everything goes well over here, Asa can replace, he could put back together the kingdoms. That B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Yehuda can now be together. It can happen if everything is, if you're going to do this in the right way. So we said, Yomim Ravim L'Yisrael. There have been many days for B'nai Yisrael, L'lo Elohei Emes, without a God of truth. L'lo Kohen Moreh, without a Kohen teaching them what to do, L'lo Torah. And they have not been able to learn Torah properly. In other words, they were living in almost like an exiled existence. Watch out again. But they were doing that in such a way where unfortunately they were going to be involved with so many idols. And he's saying, the people of Yeravim and all the people around there were doing it without the Torah, as if there was nothing there itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu were not seeking advice from the prophets, from the Nevi'im, who there were plenty of at the time. They were going instead to Avodah Zarah and doing magics in order to find out what they needed to know. So the idea is that there's nothing going on for B'nai Yisrael that's going to be good. The Vilna Gaon says over here that L'lo Elohimus, L'lo Kohen Moreh, and L'lo Torah is a reference to three of the four exiles in Daniel. Babel, Persian, Mede, and Greece. And he goes on and he explains which. And the next pasuk refers to Rome and how bad things were happening in Rome itself. Here you go, Moshe. Right? And what was happening over there. He was telling him that if you fail to do what you're supposed to do over here, then things are going to be bad for you. And it's going to be bad really, really quickly. It says, Vayoshu Batzar Lo Al Hashem Elokei Yisrael. They returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel, when, you know, Vayivakshu V'yimotzei Lahem. He made it easy and he made it found for them. This is in Pasuk Hey, Ubaitamahim in Shalom Lyoto Labo. In those times there was no peace for the people coming and going. Kimohumos Rabos al Kol Yoshe al Ratos. There was a lot of confusion that was going on in all the different lands. Vichit Hutsu Goy be Goy be Ir be Ir. And the nations were killing each other, cities were destroying each other, Kiluhim Hamamam Bachol Tsara, because there was confusion all over the place. Vatem. But you, Asa, be strong, do not weaken your hands. There will be a reward for everything you do. This line is used in Pirkei Avos, right? For anything that you do in this world. Asa is being told this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's promising that everything will happen for you. You just got the treasure of Egypt, meaning the treasures that the B'nai Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim. You were able to bring back everything back to Klal Yisrael. Everything's going to be good as long as you keep listening. It says, he heard not only these words of the Navi of Azariah, but also from Oded, the Navi as well. He's chazak. He got, made himself very strong. He strengthened himself. He got rid of all the idols throughout the land of Yehuda, Binyamin, Mina, Armasher, Lachem, Lachad, Mehar Ephraim, from all the cities that he had captured from Har Ephraim. Remember, Asa went up a little bit into B'nai Yisrael. From all the cities around the Be'achadrus, Mizbeach Hashem, he renewed the Mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shilifnei Ulam Hashem, that was in front of the Ulam. Remember, it's been about 100 years. It took a while, but the Mizbeach was probably worn down a little bit, so he renewed the Mizbeach and made it look really nice. Va'ikbotzko Yehuda, Binyamin, Va'garnu Mahem, he took away, he gathered together, I'm sorry, Yehuda and Binyamin, all the people living with them, Ephraim, Manasseh, Mishimon, Kinaf, of Yisrael wrote, because many Jews joined them, right? Because B'nai Yisrael at the time was not doing so well, but Rosem Kiyasham Lakavimo, when they saw that a Kaddish Baruch was with them, they had forgotten about Yeravam and his son and his grandson, and they started joining back with Asa himself, and they started coming through, and you saw this could be it. Asa could be not the Mashiach, but him and his children could be the progression to leading into Mashiach and everything, if everything was going well. But Yikavs Yerushalayim B'chodesh HaShlishi, they all gathered together in Yerushalayim in the third month, Lishnas Chamesh Yisrael L'Malchus Asa, in the 15th year of the kingdom of Asa. Now, if we have the months correctly, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. This would have been around Sivan. Perhaps it was around Shavuos time, and they were coming on Yom Tov to go gather together in Yerushalayim itself. For many of the people in Yisrael, this was the first time they've ever been to the Beis HaMikdash, because Yeravam and his kids did not allow anybody to go to the Beis HaMikdash. This could be the first time they'd ever been there before. They sacrificed on that day from the stuff that they had taken from the booty, right? They had 700 cows that they were able to take together. Vitzon Shiva's Lafim and 7,000 sheep by Vova Bris. They entered together into a bris, literally Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, in order to search out Hashem their God over here. Bechol Levavim, Bechol Nafshim, through all their hearts and souls to be able to do what they need to do. Bechol Asher Yidrashal Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you must. Anybody who did not want to seek out a Kadosh Baruch Hu and deal with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they will all die. That's the crazy part. They had the power to kill. I mean, cut him out gadol from small until big. A man and woman. They swore to God with a huge voice and with a loud scream, with trumpets and with shofars. It says, all of Bnei Yehuda and all of they were all happy about the oath. Because they had sworn completely, and they went through with everything they had. They found what they needed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that there was peace all around them when it went through over here. It's unbelievable. Now remember, this was a positive commitment. This bris was, let's all do mitzvos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we don't do the mitzvos, then we're going to be killed. Not often is there a punishment. Well, I don't know if there is any. Is there a punishment of death for not doing a mitzvah saseh? There's kares for not bringing the korban pasach. There's kares for not doing a bris milah. But think about this. Is there a mitzvah saseh in the world? Kivud avim, you don't get killed. It's length of days if you do it. But otherwise, you don't get killed for it. Like, think about that. You didn't wear tzitzis. You didn't put on tefillin one day. You're going to get killed for it? But that's the line. That's is if what they're saying over here. And they weren't even coerced to do this. They willingly accepted it upon themselves. Yeah, 100%. We're all in when it came to this. That's how awesome Asa was. Asa was such a great king. And the people around them were so great. They had no problem with this. And it says, V'gam Macha, Eim Asa Melech. And Macha, the mother of Asa the king. This is the, what do they call it? The queen mother, right? The queen mother or something like that. Hasira migvira sh'asta la'asher miflatzes. She, right, I guess you could say Macha, the mother of the king, the mother of Asa, right, he removed her from her queenship. Asherasta la'asher miflatzes. She had made some type of idol to the Asherah tree by Yichos Asa miflatzes. He knocked it down by Yodek and he crushed it by Yisrof v'Nachal Kidron and he burned it in Nachal Kidron over here. She may have been extremely powerful at the time, Ma'acha, the mother of Asa itself. Besides, I don't know how many people would be willing to do this to the queen mother, the person who's over there, but nonetheless, he took her idol that she had made and destroyed it completely. Obviously, she did not use this for good purposes. She used this for Znus and for Arias. While she did it over here, he completely destroyed everything he could. The only thing he didn't do correctly, unfortunately, was the following. The Bamos. Small little mounds that people made to bring their own korbanos on it. That was the one problem. He never removed them from Israel. Rak levav Asa hayashalom b'chol yomav. But Asa's heart was in the right place all of his days. I think the way that you got to look at this is like this. He looked at it and he said, at least the Jews are sacrificing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe, yes, bamos are usher, but I'm going to work on this and eventually maybe I'll build my way up to the bamos. And he never got there. He never built his way up to the bamos themselves. It should have been usher because once the base of Mikdash is made, you're not allowed to bring bamos whatsoever. Nonetheless, this was a rationale. Remember, back then, no such thing as a shul. Back then, you either went to the base of Mikdash or you really did nothing. You davened, but there was no like public davening. There was no such thing as minyanim. Everybody had their own private davening, so there wasn't even a sitter that they could daven out of. So a bama was like your only way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to ask you a question, okay? This is a question, just you can figure it out on your own. Guy comes up to you and says, I want to daven for the Yomud. He does not pronounce a single word correctly. He doesn't do anything correctly. He totally butchers the entire thing. But he says, it's my spiritual fulfillment and I feel like I'm missing out on something if I don't daven for the entire tzibur. Do you let that person daven? You're the Rav. What do you decide? Can you let that guy daven? He's a butcher. Literally a butcher. Let's say 50 people. You know, 60 people. I'm sorry?
Maybe it depends on the reason why he's so bad at it, but
he's not going to improve. The voice is not there, the tone is not there, everything's like a little bit off. Can you let him do it or not? Like, tell him. See, but that's part of the issue. Like, you want him to have something because, you know, he wants it for himself, but at the same time, so you got to find like some type of a middle ground. Like, let's see, maybe you could do like mincha on Shabbos, like something like that. You know, you found something that's like whatever. That's what it means by bama. I'm not comparing exactly, but like that's the idea behind the bama. He's like, all right, at least they're doing something. They're not like horrible people. These guys were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So if I leave them with a bama and they're sacrificing to God, is that so bad? And the answer is, yes, it's bad. This was a chiyuv of kares that he did it. But because he did that, right, things were a little bit off. Now, he had good intentions. Clearly, the heart of Asa was with the people, was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of his life. He never wanted it to be bad. But that's the idea behind it. Now look at Yudchaz Vayaves Kochi Aviv, the Kadosha Beis Elohim. He brought in all the consecrated goods of his father and of the Beis Hamikdash Kesef Zavakalim. He brought in gold and silver in all the vessels themselves. Avia and Rechavam took out stuff from the Beis Hamikdash for their own use. He brought them all back. So in the kingdom, in his palace, he probably had like special things that were taken out of the Beis Hamikdash, like special kalim that were gold and silver and whatever it was. And he brought them all back and said, they don't belong in my house. And he brought them all back. We see clearly, Asa is an amazing, amazing person. But now we see the problem. However, on the other hand, there was no war until the 35th year, right, of Asa's reign over here. Now, that seems contradictory. Didn't we just say that he fought against Zarach? He fought against Zarach. So before, there was a war before that it all happened, right? And also, it seems weird, now we're trying to say that they fought against Basa altogether over here. Something happened. This was the 36th year from when Rechavam became king over Yehuda and Yeravam was the king over Yisrael. In that 36th year, it should have been that the split of the kingdoms was no longer, that Asa is able to bring everybody back, that he's able to defeat, as we're going to see, Baasha, the king of Israel, and he bring everybody back. And he did something wrong. And it's sort of like anticlimactic, because we know it didn't happen, and the 10 tribes were lost, and everything went bad from there. But this was the opportunity, a lost opportunity, and it is the reason why in Melachim, we ignore everything that happened to Zarach, the king of the Cushim. We don't mention that war whatsoever. All we mention is that Asa was a bad king. Asa's a bad king. Asa's an awesome king. He did some awesome stuff. But because he lost out on this opportunity, something huge was missed out on. So let's see in Perek Tazayin. It says, Bishnah Shloshim Vishesh L'Malchus Asa, in the 36th year of the kingdom of Asa, as we just said, it cannot be. It's got to be 36 years since Rechavim became king. Allah Basha Melech Yisrael Yehuda, Basha the king of Israel came upon Yehuda, but even as a Ramah, and he built up Ramah. Ramah was an area of the area near Binyamin. Levilti Tesioti Ovala Asa Melech Yehuda. He no longer wanted Asa coming in and out. He didn't want that happening. Vayotze Asa Kesef Zav Me'otzos Beis Hashem. And here was the massive issue. If Asa would have gone out to Basha at that moment and fought him, even though Asa had a smaller army and more inexperienced army than Basha, if he would have gone out right then and fought against him, he would have won. He would have destroyed the army. He would have brought all of Bnei Yisrael back, and it would have been awesome for Klal Yisrael, and who knows what would have been the result of that, but he didn't. He took out the silver and the gold from the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMelechim, from his own treasury. Vayishlach al Ben Hadad Melech Aram, and he sent it over to Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, Yoshev Bedar Mesek Lemor, who lived in Damascus, saying the following, Bris Ben Yuvenecha, let's make a bris between us, Ben Avi Ben Avicha, between my father and your father, and Yishalachti Lecha Kesev Ezov, I'm sending you silver and gold, Lach, Lech Hafer Briska Az Basha Melech Yisrael, destroy your covenant that you made with Basha, king of Israel, V'yala Me'aloi, and stay away from me, I don't want you fighting me. I'm sending you all this gold and silver so that you don't fight me, he said to the king of Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. Ben-Hadad listened. Instead, he sent his army to go fight the other Bnei Yisrael. They struck down Eon and Dun, which are up north. That's Avel Mayim. We don't know where that is. There's Komiskenos Ari Naphtali, as well as the storage cities they had in Naphtali. At that time, Basha had no choice. He couldn't build up the area of Ramah down south. He had to go up north to fight by Yashbasis Malachto. So he stopped what he was doing. He halted everything there. The Asa Amelech Lokach is called Yehuda, Vayisuas Avnei Ramah. At that point, Asa took all of Yehuda. They carried away the stones of Ramah. That's Atzeha, all the wood, Asherbana Basha, Vayivan Behem, as Geva Vesa Mitzpah. And he built up Geva and Mitzpah in that area to make sure that it would never happen whatsoever. Now, here's another problem that Asa did. Asa did not just take his army to do this. He needed every hand on deck. So instead of having his army do it, he felt this was Melchemes Mitzvah to fight against Basha, the king of Yisrael. He felt it was Melchemes Mitzvah to make sure they wouldn't die. And therefore he took even the Chassanim from their chuppah room. Even Talmidei Chachamim who were sitting and learning, says the Gemara, he took all of them. He drafted everyone and said, guys, we're all fighting this fight. In Sota Yoreh Ben Aleph, it says that Asa took the Talmidei Chachamim out of war, out of their Torah studies, and therefore was punished for it. This was the punishment that ended up happening to him, as well as taking the Chassanim out as well. Now, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But this was the idea that Asa had. So two things wrong so far. Number one, he should never have given away money from the Beis HaMikdash to hire Ben-Hadad. He should have fought himself, and that's that. And number two, the second thing is he should never have allowed the Chassanim as well as the Talmidei Chachamim to go fight with them. That was the wrong thing to do. That was going to be the wrong thing to be able to say over here. Okay, everybody got that so far? We've got Asa's two major issues so far, unfortunately. Unfortunately, what happened over here? Were you going to say something, Moshe? Okay, so let's... Yeah, what? The Bummas is a good call also, right? He also did the Bummas. That wasn't in this war, so we're going to lose out on the Midi Kenegavi. He's going to die in war, right? But at least, yes, there was a third sin of Asa that he did not remove the Bummas and allow the Jews to do what they do. So, oh, we're still going. Okay, he gets in a Vua. Pasuk Zayin. Obaisehi bochanoni haroa el Asa melech Yehuda. Chanoni the seer came to Asa the king of Yehuda. We do see Hanani, he is one of the 48 prophets, right? And he came to you, the king of Yehuda, Yom 11, and he said to him, Bisha'encha al melech Aram, because you relied on the king of Aram, and you didn't rely on Hashem like you did in the Cushi war. Okay, Nimlat chel melech Aram yadecha. Therefore, the army of the king of Aram will slip out of your hands. Hello, Akushim va'lubim hayu l'chayol l'rov. The Ethiopians and the Libyans are a huge army, an immense army. They're going to have chariots and horsemen, many, many. And because you relied on Hashem, right, he would have delivered them into your hands. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are throughout the land. He strengthens you if the hearts are with God. This was your big mistake, he told me. Now you're going to have crazy wars and it's going to be really bad. Now, punishment number three, the third thing that went wrong with Asa, maybe number four if you include the Bamos. Vayichas Asa Loroa. Asa got extremely angry at the seer. Vayineu beis ma'apachas. And he threw him in prison. He was so furious with him about this. And he started to oppress some of the people at this time, started to knock down people who told him, that's the wrong thing to do. He's a Navi. What are you doing? And he started yelling at them and screaming at them and taking the Talmidei Chachamim to task. I'll say from Malachim Lehudi Yisrael, the rest of the words of Asa and what he did, the first ones and the last ones, they're all written down in the Sefer Malachim Lehudi Yisrael. Unfortunately, we do not have that Sefer. There is no such Sefer that we know about. 39 years into his kingdom, he became very sick. Baraglav, in his feet. Chazal tell us that Asa's feet were godly. What that means is, I would assume, he was able to run like no other. Like a tremendous runner, never tired, and he was extremely zuriz in everything he did. At the end of his life, he lost feeling to his legs. A major disease went up by his legs. And it spread upward. The Gabacholyo lo darish Hashem ki barofim. And when he was sick, he didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to heal him. He rather went to doctors instead. There was no tshuva. And no tshuva over there. And therefore, because of it, it was, so to speak, you're knocking down the foundation to Judaism by throwing Nevi'im in jail, by taking Talmidei Chachamim and sending them to war, by not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will knock down your foundation. And he knocked down his legs as if to say, that's completely out of your idea over here. That's the concept over here. The Ramban says that you are allowed to go to doctors. But on the highest level that Bnei Yisrael should be at, there should be no need for doctors. That in the highest level, we should be on a level of bitachon, right? That we should believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us, and that's that. Now, only the greatest fools and the greatest Talmidei Chachamim can follow this Ramban. Do remember, the Ramban was a doctor. The Ramban was a doctor as well as the Rambam. But he said, people don't have to go to doctors, and if you do, it shows a lack of faith. A lack of faith. But to do that, Asa was on the level where he should not have gone to any doctors. He shouldn't have asked them anything. Because he did, he is 100% punished for this. And that's the idea behind it. And again, just for Asa, he saw things directly. He had Nevi'im with him. Then it would have been there. On the other hand, the Mitzudas, the Rabag, some say the Ramban himself says the real problem with Asa was not that he went to doctors. You should go to doctors. Of course you should go to doctors. When you go to doctors, you should also daven. there should also be a little bit of tefillah. If you're not davening while going to the doctors, then you're missing out on the point of what the doctor is trying to do. The doctor cannot heal you on his own. He's only healing you together with the help of the different doctors out there. And therefore, he would not have been blamed if he went to the doctors together with anything like that. It's a little nutty to think that way, but that's the way we have to do it. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael and I sent my kid over to one of these tipat chalavs where they take the shot, they give shots and whatever it is. And the kid, I forgot who it was, Devorah Ezi, I don't remember which one, but they gave him the shot. And right before, and the nurse, who was a firm nurse, said, "Here it's on fanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, shetehei, I forgot what it is, she'esek ze li l'refuah, l'refuah shlema." And then she gave the shot itself. I'd never seen anyone do it before. They have these little cards that they give out that have that. But really, the truth is we should do that whenever we take any type of medicine, before you get a shot, before you get a pill. You should say those words. That takes them all together and bringing it together. So that you should do that. That's what Asa was being punished for because he didn't do it. What were we going to say?
Even vitamins,
Regan? I'm sorry?
Even vitamins?
I don't know. Here's the difference, I think. If it's something that you can't do on Shabbos, because you can't do a refuah on Shabbos, then it would be problematic. If it's something that you could do on Shabbos, vitamins you could do, right, then I think it's okay. Yeah.
I've been skipping vitamins on Shabbos.
I think vitamins you can do, because it's only like, it's not even preventive medicine necessarily. If it's something that you absolutely need, right, then it's already a shiloh, then it depends on whatever it is, or if it's something that's, you know, every single day, then for sure. But vitamins usually are okay, because there's something that you're just improving what you have, but not necessarily a refuah. Yeah.
So Rebbe says that on Asa's level, right, that's according to the Ramban,
yeah,
that he was held to the standard where he shouldn't have gone to doctors, but like, clearly from his actions, we see that he wasn't on that level. Meaning, from the fact of the bummels, right, because if he really was on the level of Muna, he would have just said, get rid of the bummels. He wouldn't have had to justify.
You're right. You're right, because clearly there was something wrong.
To the other malachim, he wouldn't have gone there. He would have just gone straight into battle himself. Hmm. Meaning, if it's just one thing and it's just faulting once,
then you see it.
Yeah,
see, it's hard when you're dealing with something where everything's right here in front of you and you're seeing it. This is a period of 35 years and you made 4 mistakes. But I hear what you're saying. Like, those mistakes are pretty major and they showed like a lack.
It's
yeah.
Like
they're connected area. In the same way. You're right. Maybe it was that. I mean, that's a hard thing to be able to learn in one way, but I hear it. Yeah, there's a little bit of a problem.
Minions over.
Thank you. You can go. Okay? All right, so I there seems to be something over here. I don't know. That's a really good call. Maybe that's part of it, that maybe we expected him to be on a higher level, right? And he never got there. And therefore, he's blamed. How could you not have gotten yourself to the higher level? Maybe you should have gotten to the higher level. I had expectations for you to be on that higher level, and you're not there. Why aren't you there? I don't know. It's interesting over here. The Malbim, by the way, as I should have pointed out, there's a difference between a roe and a choze. He says, the Malbim says, a choze is a guy who sees prophetic visions, and he tells it over precisely as he sees them. A roe is someone who's divinely inspired. He analyzes certain things that he saw, and he tells you what he understands to be true, right? So therefore, because of that, Hanani was just a roe. He felt that Hanani was saying it too extreme, that Hanani was doing it on his own. So he wasn't a choze telling over a nevuah exactly as he saw it, but rather a roe saw something, and then he's telling it over to me in an angry voice. That's the reason why he threw him in jail. So he had an excuse to throw him in jail, but obviously even that was 100% wrong. Okay, let's finish off this parak over here. Vayishkav Asa in Mavosav and Yud Gimel. Asa died with his fathers. Vayamas Bishnas Arbaim Achlamocho. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Vayikbaru Bikvrosav. They buried him in his graves. Asher Karlo Be'ir David that he had dug for himself in Ir David. Vayishkivu B'meshkav Asher Milei B'Sam V'Zoinim. And they laid him down in a bed that he had filled with spices and all different types of things. Uznim Murukachim B'merkachas Maaseh. Perfumed completely. Vayisvu Lo Sreifa Gidolad Ma'od. And they made a tremendous pyre. A big burning over here as well. Now, it certainly sounds over here that they did it in a different way. It seems very strange that they did all this. There is a custom to burn a king's personal effects in, you know, when he dies. The reason why it was simple is because nobody else should use this stuff, right? That it should be only the kings and that's that. The Egyptians buried the kings with much of their stuff, even their servants and their cats and whatever and everything like that. Maybe this is the idea behind what they were doing over here, but nonetheless, this seems a little strange also. No other king does it say that he died in the 41st year of his reign. It'll say how many years he reigned, but it doesn't say he died in that year of his reign. No other king does it say that he had all these perfumes and spices and everything else that he had set himself up. It seems that Asa had a chance to be so much greater than he actually was and lost out on something great. So it seems like there's something different about him, and unfortunately that's it. We have nobody else who's going to be on this level. It's going to be a little bit different. So in Perek Yud Zayin, guys, it says, "Vayimloch Yehoshaphat beno Tachtav." Yehoshaphat, his son, ended up becoming king instead of him. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Yehoshaphat is amazing. We're talking about an unbelievable tzaddik here. This is not just stama person. Asa was great. Yehoshaphat was just as great, if not greater. We're going to see some amazing things about him. Yitzchak Yisrael became very strong over Bnei Yisrael. Vayitin chayu b'cholor Yehuda b'tzurois. He made armies throughout all the fortified cities of Yehuda. Vayitin nitzivim b'eretz Yehuda. And he made princes throughout the land of Yehuda over here. Of Ari Ephraim, as well as the cities of Ephraim, Asher Lochad Asa Ovid, that Asa, his father, was able to capture. Yashem Yim Yehoshaphat, Hashem was with them. Kiyola B'tarchi David Aviv Harishonim. He went after the original ways of David, his father, Dorish LeBa'olam, and he didn't get involved with the Baal idols, with all the different types of Ba'olam that were involved over there. He didn't want to get involved with that stuff. Kiyolo Hey Aviv Dorosh. He went out for the God of Israel. He went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Mitzvah Sefalach, and he did the Mitzvah Lukamai Yisrael, not like the rest of the Jews out there. Now, it sounds a little extreme, right? And we're looking at this and we're like, wow, like, why would you have thought differently? Why would he not have done anything like this over here? Well, there are some major, major differences over here. When we say he was like David HaMelech, right? Ki halach bedarchi David Aviv, he means he did like David HaMelech without the major sins of David. David had a major sin with Bathsheba and Uriah Achiti. Yehoshaphat never did something like that. Number two, he ended up showing the model vision of what a king of Yisrael is supposed to be like. That was Yehoshaphat, and that's why he was like David HaMelech over here. Number three, he ended righteous at the very end of his life, even though many other kings did not. For example, Shlomo Melech, at the end of his life, although he might not have done anything horrible, he allowed his wives to do evil things. There are other people that are like that as well. Number four, Yehoshaphat was a very high level of standards. It's even why the Gemara says, how could Yehoshaphat eat at the king at the table of Achav, the king of Yisrael? How could he dare do that? It seems very, very, very strange. Now, also, Yehoshaphat involved himself in the Malchus of Yisrael as well. He married, Yehoshaphat's son married the daughter of Achav. Now that was a little bit strange. Achav was the king of Yisrael at the time. He was an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He was married to a lady named Izebel who wasn't even Jewish. Which means somehow either this daughter from Achav was from a Jewish wife, Achav may have had other Jewish wives, or she converted in order to marry the king, which is also strange, right? In order to marry the Yehoshaphat's son, because that's also strange. How in the world do you allow a Gioris to marry a king? That means the kings of Klal Yisrael are coming from a Gioris. You're not allowed to have that. A king can't marry a Gioris. You're thinking Rus?
Yeah.
Namahamonis? Rus of Moaviah? Right? And those people out there? Right. It's just strange. You'd think that such a thing wouldn't be allowed, even though we do see it in Klal Yisrael, Nama Amonis and Rusa Moaviah. It's still strange that we're purposely allowing this to happen, perpetuate, I guess you can say, one after the other. Yehoshaphat marries off his son to Achav's daughter, who may not have been Jewish and had to convert. Seems strange. So look at what it says over here. It says, "Vayochan Hashem es mamlocha b'yado." HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the kingdom to be set in his hand. "Vayineu kol Yehuda mincha," and all of Yehuda brought tribute to Yehoshaphat. "Vayilo oshev achav l'rov." He had a tremendous amount of riches and a tremendous amount of honor. "Vayig balibo," and unfortunately, as happens to some, "Vayig balibo," he got gaiva, but this was good. "Bidarchei Hashem," in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted everyone to be great, and he made sure that everyone was raising their levels in their Avodas Hashem. Va'od Heser is a Bamos as Asher Min Yehuda, and he got rid of all the Bamos and all the Asher Min Yehuda. His father, Asa, did not get rid of the Bamos. He did. Every Bama, every Asherah tree, which was used as sort of like a, you know, like an Avodah Zarah area, he got rid of them completely. He saw how intense that Avodah Zarah was and removed everything. Vishnah Shlosh Malchon, in the 30th year of his kingdom, Shal Chasar Ben Chayo Ulovadia, he sent his officers, Ben Chayo, Ovadia, Zcharia, Nisano, Michayohu, Lulamed, Be'ar Yehuda, to give teachings over in the cities of Yehuda. Now, here's the awesome part. Maybe this is to teach in the ways of war. It seems that this is to teach Torah throughout Klal Yisrael. His generals were Talmidei Chachamim. and he sent them out to go teach every single Jew. V'imam alevim. With them were levim. Shema Yehu Nisan Yehu Zvad Yehu Asoel Shmira Mois Yehunasan Adoni Yehu Tov Yehu Tov Adyanu alevim. And Tov Adonia, the levim. V'imam alishama v'yehoram akohanim. Now, if you'll notice, those names, each one of them, except for maybe Shmira Mois, maybe except for that, I mean, Shmiram means my name is great. Those are holy names. Shema, Yah, God listens. Nisan, Yah, God gave. Zvad, Yah, the gift of God. Asoel, what God does. Shmar Ramos, Yah, or Shemi Ramos, my name is great, is of the heights. Yehona, son, God is given. Adonio, the master is God. Tovio, God is good. And Tov Adoniyahu, the master of God, that is God, is good. All of those are amazing names. And they're all named for the tremendous lessons that they were going to impart to Klal Yisrael. Elam debidu v'imam sefer Torah Hashem. They taught Yehuda. They had a sefer Torah Hashem with them. Yesob b'chol or Yehuda. They went around all the cities. Yehuda v'elam debam, and they taught the people. There was a fear of God upon all the kings of the lands that were around Yehuda. V'lo nechamo im Yehoshaphat. Nobody wanted to fight Yehoshaphat. Min plishim mivim Yehoshaphat mincha v'chesef masav gamar arviim mivim lotzon elim shivas alafim u'shvameos u'siyashim shivas alafim u'shvameos. They brought sheep, rams. 7,700 and Tiyashim are like male rams or whatever they are, right? 7,700. That's what the Arabs brought. The Plishtim brought him gifts. Nobody wanted to fight Yehoshaphat because they knew he was a man of God, and together, right, they knew he was powerful. Yehoshaphat Holuch v'gadol al-Lamala became greater and greater, even Yehuda Brironios v'Ari Miskanois. He built other big palaces as well as fortified cities. Malacha Rabba Hayula v'Ari Yehuda. He had a lot of work to do in the cities. Yehuda v'Anshim v'Chama Gibori Chai v'Yerushalayim, as well as the soldiers, the mighty warriors living in Yerushalayim. V'Eilab Kudasim l'Vesav Oseam L'Yehuda Sari Alafim Adna Hasar V'Imo Gibori Chai V'Shalosh Meos Alef. 300,000 with Adna as their leader. Now, that's not bigger than Asa's army. Asa also had a 300,000 person army. But there were more from Yehuda. V'al yadu Yehochanan Asar V'imo Masayim Yerushalayim. He had 280,000. Al yadu Amasya ben Zichriya Misnadiv L'Hashem, who donated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'imo Masayim Alef Gibor Chayil, 200,000. Min Binyamin Gibor Chayil. Al yadu V'imo Noshke Keshes. People that were able to pull the bow, Umagin, as well as shields. Masayim Alef, 200,000. V'al yadu Yozavad V'imo Meo Shmonim Alef, 180,000. Chalutzei Tzava. Elam Ashor Simis Melech. These are the ones that served the king Movadashar Nasan Amelech Ba'arayim Mevsar B'chol Yehuda, aside from the people that he had to give throughout the entire area. This is a huge amount of people. Now, some of this is organic. They had a lot of people that joined them from the Malchus Yisrael throughout the past few years. A lot of people joined them. So because of that, they had a lot more people in these areas of Yehuda, and therefore the army grew exponentially. But it could just be that, again, he was able to grow. People had a lot of children. They ended up having more people that lived. Not too many kids died. And then all of a sudden, he had a huge army of people that were serving in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael itself. Parak Yud Ches. I think this will be our last parak. Vayilu Yehoshaphat, Oishav HaKov L'Rov, he had a lot of riches, a lot of honor. Vayishchaten L'Achav, and he became married, allied himself, and married to Achav himself. Now, whether or not Yehoshaphat wanted this to be somewhat like to... Is the word acrimoniously? Maybe that's not the right word for it. It's like put them together so that they have a kingdom that lasts together. Maybe he wanted to put it together, right? Some say that Yehoshaphat married Achav's sister. Others say Yehoshaphat married his son to Achav's daughter, right? Whatever it was, there's some type of connection, right? Where Achav and Yehoshaphat were friends and they dealt with one another. Chazal tell us, based on this, do not involve yourself with the Rishayim, because if you do, you yourself are going to become a Rasha. You hang out with these people, the result is you're going to be like these people. And unfortunately, as great as Yehoshaphat was, and all of the wealth and everything that he had over here, there was a tremendous amount of honor that he was given. Unfortunately, he started to go a little bit down in how great he was. But we're going to see even then, he didn't go down the way that anybody else did. So let's see what it says. It says, Vayered Lekeitz Shanim El Achav. At the end of several years, he went down to Achav, to the Shomron. Vayizbach Lo Achav, Tzonu Bakal Rov. And by the way, Shomron is up north from where he was in Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, it's considered going down because either Yerushalayim is higher and he was going down to the Shomron, or it's Yerida. It was a Yerida spiritually for him to go down. Anyway, Achav shakted Tzonu Bakal Rov, Vela Amasher Imo, Vayisiseu La'alos Al Ramos Gilad. And they both went together to the area that's called Ramos Gilad. They both went together to be able to check it out together. Now, Chazal asked, how could he eat from the Shechita? The rabbis answer in Chulin Davav that he ate from Ovadia's Shechita. Ovadia was a Navi, right, who served under Achav's time. He actually hid the Talmidei Chachamim, 100 Talmidei Chachamim from Achav, so that Achav wouldn't kill them. Achav was killing out many Talmidei Chachamim at the time. Ovadia hid them, and he was the Shochet in Achav's kingdom, and he would eat from his Shechita. Yeah.
Do you know that says Ovadia wasn't a Jew?
Ovadia was a Ger. Everybody agrees that he was a Ger Tzedek, right? But he was a Jew. We're going to see his wife and his kid were the very poor people who needed things from Eliyahu Hanavi. Oh, that's actually not here. That's in Malachim, right? But that's that when it comes down over here. Now, that's what happened up until now. They went to Ramot Gilad. Vayomer Achav Melech Yisrael Yoshev Melech Yehuda, Haseh Lechim Yiramot Gilad. Will you come with me to go to Ramot Gilad, right? Vayomer Lo, Kamoni Kamocha Kamcha Ami Ve'imcha Ve'mochama. Like me, like you. My people is your people, right? We'll go together with you at war. Vayomer Yoshev Melech Yisrael. But before we go out to war, Yehoshaphat said, I'd like to find out the word of God. I want to find out what God has to say about this. Achav was not in the habit of asking, you know, for divine guidance when he went out to war. He sort of did things on his own. But Yehoshaphat, I need to know what God says about this. What do you want? You know, let's find out. Now, he didn't have his normal Nevi'im, because the normal Nevi'im that Yehoshaphat had were all the way in Yehuda. And anyway, he wasn't necessarily expecting anything for him. He was only going to the war because Achav was. He wants to know what Achav's prophets have to say. So the Yikvotz Melech Yisrael, as the Nevi'im, the king of Israel, Achav, he gathered together the Nevi'im, Arba Meosish, 400 men, Vayomar Aleihem, and he said to them, Hanelech Ramot Gilad L'Mohammed, should we go to Ramot Gilad to wage war, im Echtel or not, Vayomaru? And they said to him, Aleh, go up, it says over here, Be'yitan Elokim B'yad HaMelech, and God will give it in the hands of the king itself. Now, who are these 400 men over here? It is strange. Eliyahu HaNavi is alive. That's the first person you would think you should go to. Michayhu, Micha, is alive. Micha the Navi. That's the second person you should be going to. Instead, he calls these 400 prophets together, and they all say it together right over here. It's possible that Achav did it on purpose. He knew the 400 prophets were all false prophets. He knew they agreed to anything he said over here. He just wanted Yehoshaphat to come with them, and therefore he went out saying, like, yeah, whatever, you know, let's call these guys over here. That's what Mitzudas David said. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer said that this is not Achav's fault. Achav honestly thought that these guys were godly, you know, godly prophets, and they really did talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were complete connivers and deceivers. None of them had ever talked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before. They were all lying, and they faked it, convincing him that he was genuine. Third opinion over here is that there is an opinion that they were just carrying out the mission for Hashem. They were actual prophets. Normally, they did everything correctly. This time, a false prophecy entered their mouths, and they had no idea that it had happened. They had no idea that this was there. Number four, according to the Mefarish, the unnamed Mefarish in Divrei Yamin, all of them were true prophets. It was a spirit that gave some of them a false prophecy. And Yehoshaphat therefore said, I have a problem. Something's wrong with the way they said it. Their nevuah was all identical. We know Nevi'im never have identical prophecies. It's always a little bit different. They all get the same prophecy. There's one main one that has to say over his nevuah, and then everybody else gets something similar. But the way they describe it and what they saw is going to be a tiny little bit different, that everybody's a little bit different. Sort of how, like, everybody can have the same dream, but it's not the same dream. Not everybody is dreaming the exact same way. So he said, something's wrong over here. There's something that was a little bit off, and he immediately looked at them and said that. The Malbim says, straight out, they were prophets of Baal. And Achav wasn't even hiding it. Achav just said, yeah, they're prophets of Baal. What's the problem? That's exactly what you should do over here. Let's ask the prophets of Baal what to do. They're better than any prophets for the Jews that deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayom Yehoshaphat. So in Pasuk Vav, Yehoshaphat looks at Achav and he says, Ha'ein po navi la'ashem? Ode? Is there no Navi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore? He's speaking like in utter shock. Like, what do you mean? Achav, come on. These guys are all fakers. Whatever they are, they're wrong. Is there no Navi to Hashem directly? We should ask him what to do. I don't understand. It could also be, if you'll notice, over there they said, Vayomru Alei V'yiten El Elohim B'yad HaMelech. Elohim will give it in the hands of the king. And over here he said, okay, I want a Navi La Hashem, Lu Yudke Vavke. Is there a Navi of Yudke Vavke over here? I want a Rachamim type of king. There is one other guy. You could ask God's his question, Meoso. But he says, I hate him. I absolutely hate him. He never says good prophecies about me. All day long it's evil. It's Michayu ben Yimla. I don't know where Eliyahu Navi is at this time. It could be that Eliyahu Navi had not prophesied publicly yet. That's a possibility. It could be that Eliyahu Navi, right, for whatever other reason, right, Eliyahu Navi had disappeared. Quite often Eliyahu disappears completely and they can't find him. Eliyahu comes to you, you don't go to Eliyahu. So Michayu might have been the guy that they had to go to because there was nobody else around. Don't say that. He turns over to his, you know, either his father, his mechutin, his father, or whatever, his brother-in-law, and he says, like, how could the king say such a thing about a prophet of God? He called over to a certain eunuch. Quickly, bring Michayu ben Yimla. They were both sitting on their thrones. They were wearing their kingly clothing. They were sitting in their granary by the opening of the gate of the Shomron. And all the Nevi'im were prophesying in front of them. Now, what that means is, not that they were actually saying prophecies, but telling over these poetries, right? And singing songs, and like going over here, of, you know, going one after the other. They were doing these things. You probably recognize this pasuk from, or the pasuk that's similar to it in Malachim, from Bava Kama Beis Amud Beis, called Keren Telusha. There's Keren Mechuber, that if an ox gores with its horns, that's called Keren Mechuber, attached horns. And then there's Keren Telusha. If the ox picks up something in its mouth and hits something with it, that's called Keren Telusha. It's learned out from this pasuk. Melech Yisrael, Sitkia ben Kanana made Karne Barzel, horns of iron. Obviously, he did not have horns on his head. He picked it up, and it's still called Karen. So says God, with these you will gore Aram until you destroy them. All the Nevi'im were saying this. Go up to Ramos Gilead, you'll be Matzliach, and you will, Hashem will give it right into the hands of the king itself. And it says, the messenger that had been sent to go call Michayu, Dibir Elav Lemer spoke to him, saying, said, behold, all the words are all favorable toward the king. Right? So Achav turned to Michayu, right? And he said, you see how all the prophets are saying it right now, right? You should be like them. I want to hear good news. That's what Achav told Michayu. I want to hear good news from you. You should only say good things. Remember Michayu? Chai Hashem? So HaKadosh Michayu says, okay, by the life of God, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do, right? Then I'll go ahead and I'll say that over here. Okay, now there is some interesting stuff over here. Some really interesting stuff over here. Number one, Eliyahu Navi, right? We said before that he might have disappeared and he didn't know him. It's also possible that Achav would not consider Eliyahu Navi because every time Eliyahu Navi spoke to Achav, tremendous evil things happened. Eliyahu Navi was not a fan of Achav, especially taking away all the rain for years and years and years. Aside from that, right, Achav was very, very suspicious because Michayu was a prophet who prophesied Achav's downfall, right, when bad things were happening over here. It could be that he saw the downfall again over here, that something bad was going to happen to him. So he was very, very not into what was happening over here. The reason why they were at the Goren over here is because either it was a circle and it was a perfect place for the king to have all of his entourage around him and right around there, and that's that. The reason why he took Karne Barzel, right, of a shore is because Yosef is a shore. Yosef is an ox. And he wants to show that Yosef, that's Achav, from the kingdom of Yisrael, of Yosef, is going to be the one to gore everybody, and that's the idea behind it. Okay, right now, we're going to stop right over here. Before we get to Michayu's Nevuah, we have to daven Maariv. We'll stop with that right now, but we'll stop on Pasuk Yud Dalet.